Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Punting to Tylan Wallace. Hangs a wobbler. Wallace settles underneath the 25. Gets a block. Comes in the near side. 30. Spins out of one tackle. 35. Along the near side. He's a midfield. Wallace to the 40. Still is he 30. 20. Celebration time. Wallace in the end zone. Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens win it in overtime.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry. Served by Applebee's.
Happy Monday and welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. That sound you heard was a thrilling walk-off win for the Baltimore Ravens. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher. Fellas, a lot of wild games this weekend.
Oh, my God. And Raiders-Vikings.
Yes.
I was going to say, let's start talking about Nick Mullins.
Nick, look, to me, this was, I know a lot of people are going to look back at Week 14 and say, like, oh, God. Raiders-Vikings was a disaster, and that ending to the Chiefs-Bills game, and wow, Cowboys-Eagles, and, you know, and what a shootout between the Rams and the Ravens. Like, so many interesting storylines. But I think, to me, the biggest takeaway from Week 14 is that my Commanders did not lose.
They didn't.
Let's be clear.
No,
my Commanders did not lose. And, by the way, they won't lose tonight either. Week 14 is the best week of the NFL season because no one was subjected to my Washington Commanders.
I tell you what, though. I think they're going to lose next week because the Rams looked kind of awesome. And that was that's just one of those random games. Like, the Ravens are 7.5-point favorites. There's weather. It's a low total. And then all of a sudden, just this magnificent game kind of sprouts out of nowhere. And they're going to beat you next week.
Like, you had me at, they're going to play next week.
Yeah.
And, you didn't have to give me the opponent.
Yes.
Like, they have one game that they could potentially win the rest of the way.
Jets.
And that's the Jets.
Yeah. Right.
And by the way, after yesterday, I'm not convinced that's a win.
No.
Listen, this is from the bottom of my heart, from the deepest, recesses and cockles of my heart.
Okay, I prefer recesses.
Yeah, but that's
okay.
Fine. I've got cockles.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I've got
the cockles of my heart, and they're deep down. Deep down, just because you have a small little Grinch heart, I'm just going to tell you, like, I have a big heart, and it's filled with cockles. The fact is, and all those cockles are rooting for the Commanders to go 0-4 the rest of the way. Yeah, I want a draft pick.
Yep.
I want a high
Patriots
draft pick
winning,
for whoever our new coach is.
Bears winning. Well, you could get back in the mix, maybe. Get a quarterback. Probably miss out on the quarterback. Take an offensive tackle at 4.
Yes, probably. Or yeah. Marvin Harrison
Or Marvin
Jr.
Harrison
Jr. Pretty fun.
Yeah, by the way. Well, by the way, or you trade down to like 10 and you get a bounty because we got some needs.
Yeah,
you understand
yeah.
what I'm saying? All right. Anyway, that's me and Connor will talk about the draft later on in the offseason.
Yes,
you can
okay.
you'll be I don't know.
Yeah.
Talking WNBA futures on Bet the Edge.
Yes. But jeez.
All right. Get this back
strong
on
bullets are just,
I love the aces.
You carved up and we're 2 minutes and 40 seconds
yeah.
into the
fired
show.
Up.
That's fun.
Listen, we are fired up. We got a busy show. Weekend Warrior, Sunday Scaries, all that good stuff. Best bets for a Monday Night Football doubleheader. An interesting doubleheader.
I don't know why they're doing that, but
yeah,
that's fun.
But it's a thing, it's happening.
The reason they are doing that is because this is not me speaking for them. From what I understand, this was at the request of ESPN. ESPN wanted two games in the same night.
But at the same time.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And boy,
it will.
What a matchup they are.
This is my guess. This is not anything I've heard. This is just my own reading of the tea leaves. Is that it will have because of the two games, it will be a huge number.
Right.
And Disney will say, like, look at how many millions of people tuned into ABC/ESPN/ESPN2, all of our family of networks to watch football last night.
Right. So
it's a little bit of a, yeah.
Okay.
That's my thinking.
In Australia, we call that a rort. A rort is like an inefficiency. So, like, you can bet right now on Damar Hamlin at -350 to win comeback player of the year when he's definitely going to win. That's a rort. So, like, ESPN, it's a rort that they're putting the two games together to artificially boost ratings. I like
it. I mean, I don't know if it's artificially boosted. I mean, the people are going to watch.
They are,
I don't know if it's artificially,
like,
but it is odd to see two primetime games on at the same time. And from what I've heard, I'm not reporting this. I'm just saying this is the scuttlebutt, the rumor, the unconfirmed sources saying that it was this is not the NFL. This is at the request of the broadcast partner, in this case, ESPN.
Okay, I like it.
Let's jump into the Roto-World player news. For all your player news, go to NBCSports.com, and we will pick up where the show started, and that is the thriller that was Rams-Ravens here, Jay. Monster day for Lamar Jackson. We've kind of been waiting for this game for Lamar Jackson. Fantasy-wise, he hasn't been a superstar. He's been just good, but the 3 touchdowns through the air, 70 rushing yards. He was a monster in this game that had him and Stafford trading jabs, Jay.
See what I did there? Yeah. Me likely.
We're in for a long one.
Isaiah likely.
That's pretty bad. That was pretty good, though, from Lamar Jackson. And I think the key to this game is that his average depth of target was over 12 yards. He was just hoofing the ball down the field and connecting more often than not.
I've
never heard it.
Yeah, it's a verb. That's Australian. Just move on.
I'm going to ask my wife later tonight if we can hoof.
Yeah, well, Lamar Jackson, he already did it with consent with Isaiah Likely and Odell Beckham. Zay Flowers to a lesser extent, not so much stuff down the field. But, I mean, this is the Lamar that we've been waiting for. And, look, Lamar is, I don't think he's going to win MVP. I don't think he really deserves to win MVP based on his numbers. He's had a fantastic season. But you watch a game like that, and you realize why people can talk themselves into it, because just the visual phenomenon of watching Lamar Jackson is just unlike watching anyone else in football. And that 3rd and 17 late to win the game, 3rd and 17 doesn't feel that difficult for Lamar Jackson because he can just do everything.
He was what you drafted him to be. Almost 400 total yards here. And talk about this on the football, I did the Saturday Night Football postgame show last night as we were talking about it. I get to talk a little football, not just fantasy, but I get to talk a little bit of football, which is always fun. But one of the things I said, so at the end of the third quarter, the Ravens were down in this game. It's the first time all season that's happened. And so, you know, you don't always want to put your quarterback in this position, but there's a reason why if you're paid the way Lamar Jackson is paid, when you're one of the faces of the NFL, when you're the face of the franchise, there comes time where the team says to you, like, dude, put on your Superman cape and go win this for us. And that's what Lamar Jackson did here. And so taking it back to fantasy here, it's the most rushing yards in a game since week 3. It's nice to see finally, like, Beckham continues to, we talked about this on fantasy football pregame, that Odell Beckham continues to look like Odell Beckham, right, like the guy we've seen. And so he gets loose, and that was a really nice catch too. I don't know if he ran the wrong route slightly or Lamar threw it to the wrong shoulder, but Beckham turns around at the last second and comes down with a great catch. Beckham just played really, awesome. Really well. Isaiah Likely coming into his game. It's now back-to-back games with 6 targets for the second-year tight end that's filling in for Mark Andrews. 11 of his 13 targets, by the way, over the last 2 games have come from the slot. So they're moving him around. They're using him in mismatches. And Zay Flowers now back-to-back games with 20 or more fantasy points, 5 or more receptions in 4 of the last 6. What's been exciting is that he's starting to get all these weapons involved. Like OBJ's healthy, Likely taking over for Andrews, Zay Flowers emerging. The only concern, if there was one concern for this game in which Lamar Jackson ran for 70 yards, is that the Keaton Mitchell breakout didn't happen the way we thought. He was clearly the Ravens running back you want right now is Keaton Mitchell, but in a game in which they put up a ton of points, Mitchell had a ho-hum day.
Yeah, he did. And it looks like with Mitchell, at least, that they are making the effort to make him the guy.
Yeah.
But the question is, when they get into these shootouts, guys, and they have Jacksonville on Sunday Night Football next week, which is pretty exciting. We'll see.
That's going to be a great game.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Flacco was able to throw against Jacksonville. I think Lamar Jackson will be okay. But when they get into these shootouts, Jay, it comes down to it that, you know, the other guys get involved through the air instead of the running backs.
Definitely. And look, it was a strange game. The Ravens, they were down much of the second half towards the end of the first half. And Lamar was just getting whatever he wanted. So, like, why would you run the ball? And because Stafford was scoring so easily the other way, which I think is another massive story out of this. Rams have a top 5-6 offense at the moment. Ever since Kyron Williams has come back, like, the Ravens, who came into this with, you know, arguably the best defense in football, certainly one of the top 3, they had no chance, particularly against Cooper Kupp, who looked like 2021 Cooper Kupp, Matthew.
100 receiving yards for just the 3rd time this season, but his first since week 6, right? I mean, this is his first game with more than 50 yards since week 6. What's nice is that they're starting to work on him in close. He got 3 end zone targets here in week 14. You see the touchdown right there on your screen if you're watching. Is right. He had 115 yards. That's the second most by a wide receiver against the Ravens so far this season. And I think the most important thing, other than the numbers were great, but the most important thing, Jay, is what you just said. he looked like Cooper Kupp for much of the season. He hasn't. He's looked like a shell of himself. He's clearly not 100% healthy. He's out there. He's, you know, and Stafford was banged up as well. But in the NFL, you never want moral victories. But this was as much of a moral victory, I think, as the Rams could have, because I would argue that as of right now, the Ravens are the best team in the AFC.
Yep.
And so the Rams, West Coast team, 1 o'clock game on the road. They were more than a touchdown underdog in this game. And honestly, they were a couple of plays away from beating this team legitimately.
I think the Rams are the fourth best team in the NFC right now. San Francisco, Dallas, Philly, they're your top three. I think the Rams are playing better than the Lions
at
the moment.
Sure.
I think a lot of teams are playing better than the Lions at the moment.
We'll Lions, get to that. Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that. But Kupp, the thing with Kupp is his first two games this season, he had 118 and 148 yards, and he was just Cooper Kupp. And then he got banged up, and then Brett Rippon was there for a while, and he had played the Browns defense. I think we can just treat him as Cooper Kupp going forward. Yeah. And he has more competition with Puka Nacua, but he looks all the way back physically.
But nice game from Puka here as well. You mentioned Kyren Williams. Stafford had a great game. So anyway, the Rams offense is rolling, and good news, they get the Commanders at home next week. So my Washington Commanders have to travel there. Stafford, Kupp, Puka, Kyren Williams, all likely on the love list next week.
Let's move over to Sunday Night Football. Dallas takes care of business at home against the Eagles. Tony Pollard, 16 carries, 59 yards. But the story with his game, guys, was the 7 receptions for 37 yards. And Matthew, this was a game that Rico Dowdle is officially involved in this offense. 12 carries, 46 yards, and he gets the touchdown on the ground for the Cowboys.
Yeah, most importantly, is what's weird about Tony Pollard, and I don't know if this is just sort of happenstance, but over the last 2 weeks, he's gotten 50%, Tony Pollard. Literally just 50% of the team's goal-to-go carries over the last 2 weeks. And in fact, for 3 straight games, his percentage of team rushes has decreased, right? 72% 3 weeks ago to 59% to just 50% there on Sunday Night Football. Now, the Cowboys led this entire way. It wasn't as lopsided as the score might indicate. If for some reason you were one of the few people who didn't, I think like 30 million people watched this game last. I mean, seriously, it's going to be a massive number whenever that comes out. And just one game, by the way. We didn't have to double up or anything like that. Not throwing shade. I'm just saying. NBD, I'm a company man. Go NBC. But the key here, I think, is that I don't know if it's because, look, the Cowboys legitimately have Super Bowl aspirations, and so they want to save the wear and tear on Tony Pollard, or they just see something in Rico Dowdle they like, but, like, it's a thing. Rico Dowdle is a thing, and I don't know that he's got standalone value in anything but the deepest of leagues, but he's playing enough, and it's I don't think it's a fluke that he's cutting into the fantasy value of Tony Pollard, who strikes me more as an RB2 these days than an RB1.
I think the other thing, too, is, like, Pollard was sensational last season while he was in a timeshare with Ezekiel Elliott, and now it looks like he's in a timeshare again, and Pollard just looks better. I know it hasn't really reflected in the stats, but he just looks more explosive. He's making more guys miss last night, so I would expect this is probably here to stay.
One of the things that was concerning about Pollard that we talked about and we complained about with Mike McCarthy is that they wouldn't get him in space. They wouldn't get him in the passing game like earlier in the season, and so that has started to happen. You mentioned the 8 targets. He's now had a double-digit target share in 4 straight games. This offense is rolling as a whole. Again, they didn't need to do much. Like, I think the majority of people talking about this game will talk about the failure of the Eagles and how much they were dominated and they couldn't get an offensive touchdown in this game, really, and you know, just how much they struggled. Jalen Carter had more, had scored more touchdowns than Jalen Hurts, all that, right? But the Cowboys didn't play great in this offense. Like, you know, but I think that if you watch it closely, Cooks almost gets into the end zone. Like, he had 2 very close ones there as well. They didn't need to do much. So, they felt in control the whole time. So, I don't know that there's much takeaway here from the Cowboys offense. My guy, CeeDee Lamb, he has a really nice game. Yeah. That was the only storyline for me. Anything that from you on the Cowboys side of the ball?
I feel like, look, they were fine and they got the job done and they deserved to win. They were the better team. That wasn't a 20-point game. Like, the Eagles fumbled 3 times in Dallas territory. Yeah. That felt like more like a 7-10-point win that just with fortune elevated. But I feel like the Cowboys, it's built on some suspect foundations where Dak was fine last night, but he wasn't great. And that was a terrible strip sack that he took for a fumble 6 to kind of re-enliven the game. So, look, the Cowboys are a great team. They're one of the 3 or 4 best teams in football, but I think there's probably a reckoning coming for Dallas some point.
Well, by the way, and that reckoning might very well be in the playoffs. I think you tweeted this, Jay, and I thought it was a great tweet. I think you said something to the effect of, like, what this Cowboys-Eagles game has taught me is that San Francisco is the best team in the NFC. Yeah. And I think you're 100% right.
Yeah.
Like, I think it is San Francisco, and then you're arguing about two versus three.
Yeah. The San Francisco just feels like they're playing a different sport at the moment, particularly on offense. Like, it feels surprising whenever San Francisco don't get in the end zone. It feels like something's gone wrong. The wiring is malfunctioned because they are just absolutely rolling at the moment. And speaking about these two teams, right, sets up a very interesting discussion where now it's all Brock v. Dak for MVP. And the odds reflect that, where these two guys, they have now separated themselves. Mahomes, Hurts, they took their turns being favorite. Lamar, but now Dak and Brock, they're clearly the MVP favorites at DraftKings. Dak plus 160, Purdy plus 200. I think that should be flipped the other way around.
I agree.
Just because this Dak MVP thing, it is a bubble floating through the air, and there are these jagged things hanging from the ceiling, and it's going to burst if he loses to Buffalo, Miami, or Detroit the next 3 weeks.
That's right.
Because at that point, here's the problem with Dak, is that because he loses all the tiebreaks to Philly, if he loses any of those games, it's going to lock him into the 5 seed, and he's going to have similar numbers to Brock, and Brock is going to be a 1 seed most likely, and it's going to be 1 seed v 5 seed, mainly because in their head-to-head matchup, Brock completely destroyed him. So I think Brock should be the favorite.
I would agree with you. They're at Buffalo and at Miami. So their next two games are on the road against very good teams, and they're home to Detroit, and then they finish up with my Washington Commanders. So that'll be fine.
But
they should have a good time there. To that point, the other thing that I think is probably the most important thing from last night's game is, of course, my Sunday Night Football parlay. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead and roll this. This is what I presented.
Against Matthew's will.
Yeah, no. This is.
We skipped two things on the rundown, but I agree. It's time to go there.
No, no. We'll come back to it. We're going to come back to what else is on the rundown there. Yeah, go ahead.
You guys, if you watch this show, you know I love Jalen Hurts. He's my ride or die from last year. But this year, the rushing just hasn't been there. Five of the last six games, he's been under 40 rushing yards, including against Dallas in Week 9. Since Week 8, by the way, Cowboys are a top 10 run defense. Give me the under on Jalen Hurts rushing tonight. Eagles have allowed the second most yards per game to wide receivers. Lamb had almost 200 yards the last time they faced. Give me an alt line, over 70 receiving yards for CeeDee Lamb. And then we say this in fantasy football all the time. Start your tight ends against the Eagles. Jake Ferguson, I wanted the over on his receiving yards.
So there you go.
Done, Matthew.
Right. What, they're, thank God I took the alt line, because I think the actual line was like 90 something. I think he finished with 71, but yep, it all still counts. Jalen Hurts had a couple of early runs.
The first run went for 11 yards.
I'm dead in the water. But and then obviously Ferguson had a couple of big plays as well here. But so let's talk about Jalen Hurts as we transition. So anyway, that all
so
checked.
One. Yeah.
Ching, 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 ching. Check, check, check. Like that all, boom, boom, boom. Great job. Happy we all cashed. Thank you, DraftKings. Thank you, everyone that tailed me.
Everyone's
hopefully,
rich.
Penn State Blake's just shaking his head behind the camera.
He's had enough of the Eagles-Cowboys segment. Yeah, he's truly disgusted.
Well, guess what, Penn State Blake? Because now we're going to talk about your Eagles. And
how they're not doing so well.
They're no. And Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Hurts fantasy teams. He didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he
Hurts.
Yeah. It was a bad day at the office for the entire Eagles offense. Like, this is, by the way, I have Jalen Hurts again. He was my ride or die. He was my number one quarterback coming into the season. Coming into this week, he was the number two quarterback in fantasy football. I think that call worked out just fine. But as a result, I have Jalen Hurts in a lot of leagues. I have a lot of Jalen Hurts, not surprisingly, and I needed a nice game from him in a number of leagues. I did not get a nice game from him. I'm sure a lot of people are in the same boat as well. The fewest fantasy points for Hurts in a game since Week 18 of last year. Only 22% of the team's rushes in Week 14, second lowest rate of the season or well. He now has 30 or fewer rushing yards in three of the past four games, again, including under 41.5, which helped me cash the parlay.
Yep. Now, to be fair to Hurts, I don't think he played that much worse than Dak. I think he just got unlucky, where he had these bomb passes to Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown that just went through the hands.
Yeah.
If those are different, if they don't fumble three times, mm-hmm, their three best players all take a turn to fumble in opposition territory. I think his stat line looks a lot different, and we're talking about Jalen Hurts in a different way. So, look, Jalen Hurts is fine. To me, the main thing is, I thought that his knee was in real bad shape after mm-hmm that Kansas City game in particular, where he looked like a statue, but
yeah,
he looks better now. He looks like they're just having bad games.
And by the way, and to that point, and this is why I thought I was dead in the water, and I was glad it ended up cashing, but like they had some designed runs. It
yeah
feels like, to date, a lot of the rushing for Jalen Hurts has been off schedule, you know, or whatever, the brotherly shove, but yeah, like, it felt like at least early on they were trying to be aggressive in trying to run Hurts, which hasn't felt like the case earlier in the season. If you do survive and you manage to get into the playoffs with Hurts as your quarterback, it gets a lot easier. At Seattle, home to the Giants, home to the Cardinals, and then at the Giants again. So I do think Jalen Hurts is one of the reasons why I had him as my number one quarterback in fantasy coming into the year. Is it's a dream schedule, to your point, in the fantasy playoffs.
Connor, why do you think the Eagles can't run the ball anymore?
I mean, it's really interesting because this is an offensive line that used to dominate everybody. And I think when it comes down to it right now, it's not the same unit, right? They've had some injuries up there throughout the year. And I think also it just feels like teams are keying in on their run and, and daring them to throw. And Brown and Devontae Smith each had drops in this game. They each had a lost fumble. Dallas Goedert wasn't overly involved. So I think it's a lot of different things. And I think Lane Johnson, who's one of the best right tackles in football the last 8 years, he's really playing through injuries. It's been like that every year. So you're not getting dominant performances from guys that we're so used to seeing dominate.
Yep.
And DeAndre Swift is completely cooled off, honestly.
That's, to me, that's the bigger concern. Like, the pass catch will be fine. Like, as we go into Monday Night Football, Devontae, in a game in which, to your point, they didn't score an offensive touchdown and they had three turnovers in, you know, deep in Dallas territory, like, and just a bad day at the office for the passing offense. As we head into Monday Night Football, A.J. Brown is still the 12th best wide receiver in fantasy. Devontae Smith is still wide receiver 29. He's a top 30 play. Goddard is, whatever, tight end 22. But whatever, tight ends are touchdown dependent. It is what it is. But DeAndre Swift, as we head into Monday Night, is running back 44. It's his first game with zero receptions, but he's now had two or fewer receptions in five of the past six. Like, they're not involving him in the passing game at all. Single-digit fantasy points in four of the past five games. Over that stretch, he's running back 36. Like, he's not even a top 35 running back over the last five games. And so, once again, less than 50% of the snaps in back-to-back games. Kenneth Gainwell's getting more involved. And so, somebody that went in the middle of drafts and people thought, I found something in DeAndre Swift. As we head into the fantasy playoffs, I don't think you can trust him the way that you have before. Like, this was a tough day at the office, and it's been that way for a while for DeAndre Swift.
It's just a strange offense at the moment. Only four guys got a target last night. It's just bizarre. That's, like, the running backs didn't get a single target between Gainwell and Swift.
Yeah.
So just seems a little off-kilter at the moment. Also, they've had five brutal games in a row, all against elite teams.
Right.
Dallas twice, Kansas City, Buffalo, San Francisco. Those might be the four best teams. You can make a case those are the four best teams in football. They have to play all of them. An absolute gauntlet. They've been at a rest disadvantage 3 weeks in a row. Like, they will be better with extended break.
And again, Seattle, Giants, Cardinals, Giants.
As easy
the
as
next
gets.
Four, yeah. Like, so better days are ahead for all of them, but still you're a little nervous about, you wish you'd seen a little bit more from DeAndre Swift.
Yep, for sure.
In terms of usage and passing game involvement.
And it's been better days for the Bills, who have saved their season a little bit. They win this was a thriller against the Chiefs at Kansas City. And Matthew, it's on the back of James Cook right now. 10 carries, 58 yards. More importantly, since Joe Brady has taken over, his usage in the pass game. 5 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown yesterday. This has been a consistent part since they moved on from Ken Dorsey. And Barry, you kind of called your shot with James Cook on Fantasy Football pregame yesterday. So take a listen here. As you see, the Week 14 fantasy leaders at running back. We will get to Matthew's shot for shot yesterday. Ezekiel Elliott tops this list still from Thursday Night Football, but James Cook ends up coming into Monday Night Football as RB3, and I've heard we have Matthew's shot for shot, so take a listen.
I really like him a lot. I'm at running back 14. He made the love list this week, guys. I think James Cook is due for, I think James Cook is gonna, wait for it, cook. That's right.
Woo.
That's right. God bless.
Got him.
Dad, is it too early for dad jokes? I don't think
three
it is.
3 out of 10.
You know what?
You don't need to
I'm
going to
use that joke again. How about them apples? What do you think about that? I'm going to use that joke again.
It's like you're looking at the screen as though the screen will support you somehow, but it's just us. It's just us, and we're not supporting
It's people at home.
Focused.
People at home. James Cook cooks against the Chiefs. I told you
you're going
to use that joke again. You're
you
damn right.
Back.
Yeah, that's right. Keep making fun of it. I'll keep using that joke because I don't care.
Man, that ISO was just
it's
holding
good,
on.
Yeah, I like Michael Smith popping in there, but you're damn right. Yeah, James cooked. How
yes,
about them
did.
Apples? That's right. That's right. Because here's what I just, this is a lesson for you, America. If you meet me on the street, you interact with me on social media, and you guys who are the hosts, like, when you tell me,
yes,
oh, that joke sucks,
yeah,
I'm just going to lean into it more and more and more and more.
I never make
that's
fun
your
of your jokes
gift.
Anymore.
Absolutely, because I was like this as a kid.
Yeah.
I was like this as a kid.
Not
the
surprised.
Minute I was told I couldn't do something, I immediately wanted to do it. The minute I was told, oh, that's no good, my goal is I don't run away. I lean into it further. So, yeah, it's not a good joke.
No.
I asked and answered.
I was being kind with a 3 out of 10.
Yes, I agree with you, by the way. I think you graded too high.
I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, definitely. You were definitely the French judge on that particular joke. And yet, still, I'm going to lean into it more. James cooked. He cooked. And he has been cooking since Joe Brady took over. He's had over 100 yards from scrimmage in every single game since Brady has started calling the plays here. And what's exciting is he's also getting involved in the passing game. A 14% target share in every game with Brady as the OC as well. So it's weird. It's good to see James Cook do as well as he is, because honestly, it feels like he's the only part of the Bills offense that's really clicking here. Brutal game from Gabe Davis. You know, a typical, you know, this is the Gabe Davis experience. Up, down, up. I mean, you know, he's awesome, he's bad, he's awesome, he's bad. But Stephon Diggs, since Joe Brady took over as the offense coordinator, I think this is interesting. Since Joe Brady took over as the offense coordinator, it's only 3 games, so it's a small sample size, but he's wide receiver 35 on a points per game basis, again, as we head into Monday Night Football. He's had under seven fantasy points in 2 of the 3 games, including his 2 lowest yardage games of the season. He's at under 35 receiving yards in 3 of the past 4. Like, you know, his brother probably won't be tweeting because they didn't win the game. They went to Kansas City and they won the game. But still, for one of the elite wide receivers in the NFL with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, this is an alarming lack of production over the last month.
I don't understand the usage. I don't understand why, particularly in the Philadelphia game, he was off the field on key third downs. Their season was on the line in that game, and he just wasn't out there. So I don't know if he's nursing something. I don't really understand anything about this offense. Like, Khalil Shakir looks awesome, and then yesterday's just one catch for 12 yards.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis doesn't have a catch yesterday. All of a sudden, it's a James Cook, Dawson Knox offense.
Right.
They're going to Kincaid all the time down the stretch.
Clutch play to Deontay Hardy. Yeah. Like, I mean, down the stretch, like, you're like, so it's a weird one, right? And it makes me nervous, especially because, by the way, their next game, they're home to Dallas, and then they're at the Chargers. That's a game that's exclusively on Peacock. Let's go, I'm a company man.
Let's go, Ace and Stick.
Yeah. Well, by the way, if you want to watch that game on Peacock, you can subscribe to rotopass.com, get a bunch of great fantasy sites along with the subscription to Peacock.
The holiday bundle.
It's a holiday bundle, 1,000%. Rotopass.com. It is the best deal in fantasy sports, and you do get a 12-month subscription to Peacock whenever you subscribe. And then they play, they're home to New England, good. But then they end the season at Miami. So
it's a big one.
That's a big
Miami
one.
Miami may not have anything to play for in that game if they've beaten Baltimore the week before to wrap up the one seed, though.
By the way, if Buffalo doesn't beat Dallas, they may not have anything to play for either.
Yep.
Like, they need to win. I mean, if you look at the AFC playoff picture, like, they're on the outside looking in.
Tiebreakers aren't good for Bills.
That's correct. And there's a lot of teams ahead of them. Like, they're at 7-6, but they're like, there's a lot of 7-6 teams that have better tiebreakers. Yeah, they need better tiebreakers. If there's a positive, that Cowboys game is in Buffalo, so the Cowboys will have to travel to the cold. But still, like, offense doesn't look great.
Stephon Gilmore has been great against number one wide receivers, where if you're Stephon Diggs, you know, fantasy manager saying, I think it'll turn. You get a little nervous about this.
I feel like Gilmore as well. He gets more burned by, like, elite speed.
Right.
When it's a bigger guy like A.J. Brown. Like, I think he'll be able to keep up with Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, this Stephon Diggs right
now. But, I mean, Diggs, maybe he's not healthy. Like, I feel like maybe they're, you know, hiding an injury or he's just like, but it's you're still starting Stephon Diggs because he's Stephon Diggs. But, like, you know, there's some cause for concern here.
100%.
Speaking of somebody who, I'm in first place in one of my dynasty leagues, you know, and so I'm going for it this year. I'm pushing all my chips in the middle. There's 2 other teams that are really good in my league as well. And so I traded my Jahan Dotson and my number one pick next year for Stephon Diggs in this dynasty league to try to make a, you know, final push. And at the moment, I'm not feeling good about the trade. I got to be honest with you. Don't feel good about it. I'm nervous.
On the Chiefs side of things, you know, Mahomes comes in as QB18. We know how the Kadarius Toney offsides changes things, but as it stands, Mahomes, 25-43, 271 yards, touchdown and interception. I mean, Jay, the offsides heard around the world with Kadarius Toney. Obviously, the Chiefs are not happy after the game, but the man was offsides, and it changed the outcome of this one.
The irony is it's not even the worst offsides that the Chiefs have committed in the past 6 years, because Dee Ford was offsides in the AFC title game against Tom Brady, which literally, if he's just 2 inches back, Tom Brady doesn't have a Super Bowl.
Right.
That's the game. Game was over.
Correct.
It doesn't get talked about enough. That's one of
that's
those
true.
Consequential plays in NFL history.
Dee Ford's intercept, that's 100%, took the interception off the board.
Kadarius Toney, look, we don't really have to get into it because we could spend all day on it.
You can't see the ball.
He's clearly offsides.
You can't see the ball.
To me, and I tweeted about this last night, but I think that Mahomes, he doesn't throw that fit if any of his receivers catch a ball against Detroit, if MBS comes down with a pass against Philly, if the pass interference gets called at the end of the Green Bay game. Like, he just feels like a man at the end of his tether, because everything around him, it's all just descended into farce. It's like, oh, let's see what his receivers can screw up now. And I think it just broke him.
There's this account on Instagram, NFL Memes IG, and whoever runs that account just never misses. And it's mean, but it's really funny. But there was one that was just like, you know, Patrick Mahomes realizing that if Kadarius Toney just wasn't on the team, this team would be like, you know, well, just because it's like they showed clips from the Detroit game.
Right.
Like, there's like three games where Kadarius Toney has just made just a brutal, mind-numbing play. Look, no one complains about the refs more than me. I'm the first to be able to just pile on the refs. But like, even I'm like, that's the right call. Like, you can't see the like, he's so clearly offsides. If you're Kadarius Toney, you can't put yourself in that position. Fantasy-wise, let's bring it back here. Just Mahomes is like, this is what we said prior to the game, and there's nothing that changed my mind after this game. Mahomes is like a low-end QB1. Like, you're still – the days of, at least for this year, the days of, like, I've got Mahomes. I don't care who else is on my team. I don't care who he's playing. I'm starting him, no questions asked. Like, that's not the case anymore. Like, if you had a Jordan Love, if you had a Brock Purdy, easily you could easily have those guys – and Mahomes, based on the way drafts went, like
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell. It's a conversation.
Russell Wilson-ish.
Russell Wilson-ish.
We're at that
Matthew
line.
Matthew Stafford the last couple of weeks. I'm just – now, they play New England next week, so you're starting Patrick Mahomes. But, it's frustrating. Two positives out of this game that I think is important, then we'll move on. Number one is Rashee Rice. 84% of the team snaps. It feels – it's happening slower than we'd like. But it's finally happening for Rashee Rice, who now has at least 18 fantasy points in two of the past three games, at least 7 for 60 in three straight, and he's got an almost 30% target share over that stretch. It makes sense. When everyone on your team can't catch, but one guy can, it makes sense that they try to get him on the field more and get him involved. So we continue to really like Rashee Rice. I get it. Jerick McKinnon got the touchdown, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire got 61% of the Chiefs' rushes in Week 14. Played 48% of the snaps in a game in which the Chiefs were trailing. You know, I mean, I think you're encouraged by CEH's usage if you picked him up to replace Pacheco. McKinnon got the rushing touchdown because he was in on the 2 minute drive. It was the 2 minute. He's their 2 minute running back, like he's their third down back, and so he just happened to be on the offense when they got in with under 2 minutes to go. I don't think he's got the goal line role as long as Pacheco's out.
Our next game, the Bears upset the Lions. Justin Fields' success against the Lions continues, Jay. Throws for 223 yards. The touchdown also adds in 58 yards rushing with another rushing touchdown. And the song remains the same. When Justin Fields plays, DJ Moore plays well, Jay.
Yeah, this is the bizarre game. He gets that free pass on the 4th and 13 after somehow it wasn't intentional grounding on the previous play. Seems like the most blatant intentional grounding I've ever seen. But, I mean, Fields, when he is playing like this, and it feels like he goes through this kind of journey every year, but now that he's throwing the ball deep, he's running, and when he gets a bad defense, he can light them up. But I think the big story fantasy-wise out of this is Deonta Foreman is their back, Matthew.
1,000%. 73% of the team's running back carries in his return. He averaged 4.5 yards per carry. It's the second highest in a game this season. He also had the second most receiving yards in a game this season. Foreman not really known for his passing game prowess, but you see it there on your screen. 2 for 22 in the passing game. Not a lot, but it's more than Herbert and Rashawn Johnson combined. Neither of them got a target in the game. And so I think it's very clear that to the extent you want a Bears running back, Deonta Foreman is the guy. Now, they're playing the Cleveland next week, so okay. But then home to Arizona, home to Atlanta at Green Bay. So given that the team is winning, the Bears now have won back-to-back games for the first time this season, and they went right back to Foreman, he's the guy that I think you want in this offense.
tough day for the Lions. Jared Goff, 161 passing yards, touchdown, throws the two picks. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he had 9 targets, but he only catches 3 of them for 21 yards. The Lions are just in an all-around rut. Right?
They are.
They don't look like the team we saw the first 2 months of the season.
No, they don't. Look, the Bears have an excellent defense.
Correct.
And that has changed over the second half of the season. They are a legitimately excellent defense now. And it's just Jared Goff outdoors. It's been the same story as in Tiger. Jared Goff outdoors in the cold against a good defense. He just does not play well. He plays in domes the rest of the way, though, so they'll be fine.
That is a positive. Also, by the way, again, we've always talked about this. Goff is much better when he has time.
Yeah.
Their offensive line was banged up coming into this game. Like, they had some backups out there as well, so hopefully they get healthy. But, the good news is like, he's in domes the rest of the way. The bad news is, look at who he's in a dome against. So they're home to Denver this Saturday. Then he's at Minnesota. That defense is improving. At Dallas, also on a Saturday, and then home to Minnesota. Yep. So, I mean, like, there's not a pushover there. I mean, Minnesota's kind of a middle-of-the-pack defense, but Denver's playing really well, and Dallas is Dallas. So, you know, the positives are at least that those games are indoors. But I don't know that we're fully out of the woods yet on the Lions' offense getting back to where they need to be. This is a bad day at the office for the entire team. Both running backs, by the way, didn't get a lot of work either. At least Gibbs gets into the end zone.
Yep, they need to get their offensive line healthy.
Our final game here, guys, the Bucs-Falcons. I mean, this was a dream game for that Falcons trio of top 10 picks. Bijan Robinson gets the touchdown on the ground. He also catches 5 passes for 54 yards. Drake London, 172 yards through the air, as well as a 2-point conversion. And Kyle Pitts here, Jay, 57 receiving yards and a touchdown. When all three of these guys were drafted, this is what we expected on a week-by-week basis. It just took a while to get here.
Kyle Pitts continues to be hyper-relevant. 3 for 57 and the touchdown. As you can see, 14.7 fantasy points. That's the stuff you dream of last season. And by the way, doesn't make the screen. Desmond Ridder threw for 347 yards in this game and looked pretty good outside of a errant kind of screen pass pick, which is always going to be in there. But it certainly showed a certain ceiling to their passing game that you didn't think existed. Admittedly, against the Bucs pass defense, that is not very good.
That's going to say, their defense is bad to begin with, and then they were really beat up. They had a number of starters out in this game. And I actually, it's weird. I thought Ridder had some really nice moments in this game. I also thought he just made some brutally, like, fantasy-wise, he was great.
Yeah.
He put up numbers, he ran, he got the ball to the playmakers that we care about. Great, fine. From an NFL perspective, though, he did not play.
He's not the guy.
He missed some just easy screens, and they were just like, there was
Bijan in the end zone.
Bijan in the end zone where you're just like.
Bijan should have had a much bigger day, and he had a good day.
I thought Ridder wasn't terrible, but like that's a game the Falcons should have won, needed to win, and didn't. The Buccaneers now control their own destiny in the division that is the NFC South. The brilliance of it, the other side of the ball. Like, I thought numbers don't support this. I thought Baker Mayfield played a better NFL game than Desmond Ridder did yesterday.
Yeah, particularly given that Mike Evans was completely taken away by the shadow coverage of A.J. Terrell, who was able to play after getting through concussion protocol, and Rashad White, who just continues to be really solid. And he goes 25 for 102, catches the touchdown, just the two receptions, but still able to provide value. He's a locked-in RB1, really, going forward.
The volume is insane. He's had at least 98 scrimmage yards in 7 of the past 8. He's scored in 5 of the past 6. Like, he is not a sexy name because the Buccaneers, NFC South, and Rashad White, he's just not famous. But, like, very quietly has continued to produce week in, week out. I agree with you. He's a borderline RB1 there as well. Mike Evans, tough day at the office. He was on my love list. That did not work out well. But I will say, like, he almost had a touchdown. Like, a hand comes down out. You know, he made a great catch. The hand comes down outside the end zone just before he gets the second foot down. It's a little like a boom, boom play that, you know, nanosecond the other way. There were a couple other ones as well that he just easily could have had a much bigger day. Mike Evans is going to be fine. I'm not worried about him as well. They play the Packers, who will be on a short week on Sunday next week.
And I think when he was on the love list, A.J. Terrell cleared concussion protocol throughout less than a week. That's been pretty rare air this year.
I mean,
that's
one in four guys.
That's one of the things. It's like, again, I write the love list, love-hate list. I write it on Wednesday. So you're sort of projecting forward, you know, and I did not think Terrell was going to play. We talked about him on Fantasy Football. I'm going to own it. Like, if I'm patting myself on the back and victory lapping the James Cooks and the parlays of the world, I got to own, like, when I put somebody on the love list and he gets you single-digit fantasy points, I'm going to own that. And but, yes, part of my analysis, it's always important to sort of check in, and part of my analysis was that Terrell was not going to play.
Before we go to break, let's take a look at the injuries we will be tracking from week 14. Justin Jefferson, as a precaution, went to the hospital with that chest injury. Literally – a hospital ball. His teammate Alexander Mattison dealing with the ankle, Josh Jacobs with the knee. C.J. Stroud was knocked out of the game in the second half by a brutal hit. He will be in concussion protocol. Justin Herbert obviously left the game with a pretty significant finger issue. And Nico Collins left very early in the Jets game with the calf injury.
Tough game for all of the Texans as well. In terms of Herbert, Adam Schefter has already tweeted out that it's a finger injury. They play the Thursday night game against the Raiders, so Herbert's already expected to miss Thursday night. We'll see how much longer after that. But Easton Stick will get the start on Thursday night. We'll talk more about these guys' replacements tomorrow on our Waiver Wire show. We'll be back right after this.
All right, we're taking our first break. When we are back, Weekend Warriors, Sunday Scaries, Zach Wilson, right after this.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Get your weekday started with Bet the Edge. Join Jay and Drew Dinzik as they tackle the biggest games from every angle in the NFL, NBA, and more. So whether you're targeting spreads and totals, looking for value in futures markets, or circling player props, Jay and Drew have you covered with new episodes every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Ooh,
make sure you subscribe and download, Matthew, for your driving.
Do you think people wake up early? Do you think people wake up desperately early to get Bet the Edge at 6 a.m., 6:05?
There's no better way. No better way to start your day with some granola, some wheat beaks, and some
Debo Samuel highlights as well. As we jump into Weekend Warriors, Debo Samuel absolutely tops our list here. 34 fantasy points. He is wide receiver one right now, Matthew. I mean, just a Debo game where he gets you a touchdown on the ground, classic, but also 149 yards through the air receiving.
He's been on the podcast twice, and since returning in week 10.
It's helped him play, apparently.
I'm just saying, since he returned from injury in week 10, he's the third best wide receiver in fantasy football on a points per game basis. Debo's been nothing short of terrific. Third straight game with multiple touches of 20 or more yards, so he's getting these big chunk plays as well. Six touchdowns over the last three games. And one of the things that sort of helps the Brock Purdy case, if you will, if you look at the touchdown pass that he caught, it's an absolute dime.
It's not yak.
Right.
It is a layered bomb.
You're right. Brock Purdy just throws an absolutely perfect ball. And so just like I know you guys everyone will say, oh, Brock Purdy's a system quarterback and everything like that, but like system quarterbacks don't make those kind of throws. Like I get it. He was open. Debo's really good. But like he hit him in stride. Like, I mean, just perfect play, you know.
Yep.
Anyway.
PFF have this stat called big time throw rate, which basically is like, you know, the big time throws that you, the extra difficulty
yes.
throws, and Brock Purdy's fifth in the NFL in that. It is not easy completion. So, and I think that helps Debo because he's able to find him on these deep balls as well as the short intermediate stuff.
I mean, again, it's just death by a thousand cuts, whether it's McCaffrey or Ayuk or Samuel or Kittle. They all had great games. They always seem to kill the Seahawks, but look at their upcoming schedule. Okay, they're at Arizona this week. They got Baltimore in 2 weeks, which honestly I think is a Super Bowl preview.
Yeah,
right now
a big one.
That'll be a great one. But then they're at Washington, home to the Rams. So I mean, like it's a pretty nice schedule. That Baltimore game's gonna be tough, but the Ravens defense, obviously, you just saw last week, like they're not impenetrable. And you know, the same with the Rams. So it should be a good. If you have Niners, it should be good throughout the fantasy playoffs.
Our next one here, Breece Hall. He comes in as RB2 from the weekend. But, Jay, the reality was, for the Jets, he's wide receiver, too. All Breece's production was through the air, 8 catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown. Zach Wilson, when in doubt, checked it down to Breece Hall.
Yeah, and we were talking about this while we were getting our makeup done before the
show.
Jets' offense, it's Garrett Wilson, who, to your point, is always open. And if he's not open, just throw it to Breece Hall and see what he can do.
Right.
And it felt like for the first time in a long time, they finally embraced that as their identity, and Breece Hall really benefited.
21% target share in his fourth straight game for Breece Hall. I mean, again, you've got a running back getting a 20% target share with his ability, his run after the catch ability. Pretty good. He's back on the, you know, high-end RB2, low-end RB1 radar.
Yeah, he is their number two receiver. And Zach Wilson was a beneficiary of that. 19.4 fantasy points, QB 12, throws for 2 touchdowns in this game. Matthew, in a career high, 117.9 passer rating.
Yeah, by the way, 19 fantasy points, over 300 yards. He actually got 3 runs. And by the way, Zach Wilson also drinks for free today here at the happy hour.
Good for you, Zach.
Good for you. That kid has taken so much crap, so much unbelievable crap. And so for him to go out, and that's a big win at home against a good Texans team, I get it. Nico Collins left early. But honestly, that's it. And we talked about this a little bit last week and on Fantasy Football Pregame, where I just said, I sort of feel like Zach Wilson is going to play well here because, guys, he's going to be like, look, I've already been benched for Tim Boyle.
Yeah.
How much worse can it get?
Right.
F it. Because with Zach Wilson, it's never been about the physical skills. It's all been mental for him.
Yep.
And I felt like taking all the pressure off of him because it's like, what's the worst that can happen for me? Like, I ain't going to be here next year. Like, they're going to bench me for Tim Boyle again? Been there, done that. Bought the T-shirt. Like, whatever. I'm going to let it fly. And that's exactly what he did. And he played within himself. And then you see some of the quotes after the game, Connor, that felt like that was his mentality.
Right. He was confident. He was loose. Played like he had nothing to lose. Nathaniel Hackett had his best game of the year as well. They lit up the Texans in the second half, which is more importantly from a fantasy perspective because you're not starting Zach Wilson. Is Garrett Wilson, top 5 wide receiver. Breece Hall, top 3 running back.
Yep.
That's what you need.
Yep. No, Zach Wilson was fantastic. Daughters, lock up your mothers.
Just say this, though. Again, in a league in which you may have lost Justin Herbert, right, and every week there's more and more quarterback change. At Miami next week, home to Washington. At Cleveland, you don't love that. At New England. But again, the next 2 weeks are favorable fantasy-wise. I bet you he's throwing a ton at Miami, and obviously there's no better secondary to throw against than my Commanders. So Zach Wilson in deep 2 quarterback leagues, like, you could, you know, you if you're desperate, I'm just saying, you know.
Better than Nick Mullins, probably.
Right? I mean, right, exactly. I mean, like, you know, anyway. So we'll talk about that all tomorrow, but Zach Wilson on the deep league streaming radar. He got picked up in our league already. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think it was Pete.
Pete.
Yeah, backup producer Pete. You know, who's, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Optimistic.
You know. For the Bengals, Joe Mixon and Chase Brown make the weekend Warriors, Jay. We know what Mixon can do and the volume he gets, but it's like the Bengals remembered they drafted Chase Brown. Very odd how long this took.
Yeah, kind of a Jalen Warren vibe to Chase Brown. Just an
out
of explosiveness. It just feels like he runs for 20 yards every time he gets it. They eviscerated the Colts, the two. The Colts don't have a great run defense, but they took advantage.
Let's hear for Jake Browning. Second good game for him again. You know, keeping in close, getting a bunch of completions, getting yards after the catch, which you saw with Jace Brown. It's opening up the run game for Mixon. Tough day for Chase, not really worried about it. Nice to see T. Higgins getting involved, but the Bengals are suddenly viable. We'll talk more about Chase Brown tomorrow, but again, if you have Joe Mixon, it's clear that Chase Brown is very important for your roster construction.
How about Evan Ingram? Monster day for Evan Ingram. He comes in as tight end one, as you see at the top here, over 32 fantasy points, and largely, Matthew, because he caught 2 touchdowns, but 11 catches for 95 yards. Ingram's on a good stretch here right now.
Since week 3, he's had a 19% target share, where you're wondering, what does this Jaguars passing offense look like without Christian Kirk moving forward? Evan Ingram's already been a big part of it, continues to, I think, going to be an even bigger part as they move down the stretch. Now, they were down in this game quite a bit. Kudos to Trevor Lawrence for getting out there. A lot of people were wondering, oh, is this season ending? And like, nope, once again, Trevor Lawrence doesn't miss a game. But yeah, Ingram's a tight end one.
And another guy like that right now, Jay, David Njoku comes in as tight end two, starts off the game with a basically blown coverage, 30-plus yard touchdown, but put together a consistent performance, 6 catches, 91 yards, and 2 total touchdowns.
Yep, seems like he's established a rapport with Joe Flacco. This is the second game in a row where Flacco has just looked confident. They're running a real NFL offense, which they kind of weren't with PJ Walker. So Njoku, Cooper, and Elijah Moore, but Njoku was a monster yesterday.
All right, let's get into the Sunday scaries, and we start with the tough one, that is CJ Stroud getting away from the injury, which was in the second half, the concussion. Stroud couldn't get anything going, guys. He comes into this game without Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz.
Nico Collins early.
Very early with the calf injury, yeah, which I think is a re-aggravation of an early season injury. 91 passing yards, Matthew, no touchdown. Two passes really could have been very easily intercepted. The Jets dropped him. It's a brutal day for Stroud.
Tough day at the office. Listen, Jets have made a lot of quarterbacks look bad as well, but this is now under 17 fantasy points in three of the past four games. His numbers on the season without Tank Dell are not great. We'll see if Nico Collins is going to lose some time. Even if C.J. Stroud clears the concussion protocol, they're on the road to Tennessee, then home to Cleveland, home to Tennessee, at Indianapolis. It's not a great schedule for the Texans the rest of the way, and just feels like if all you have is C.J. Stroud because you're like, hey, I'm playing with house money, this is my guy, like, it feels like you may need another quarterback here for the next couple weeks because you don't love him on the road to Tennessee or home to Cleveland, especially if he's going to be without, obviously, Tank Dell and maybe also Nico Collins.
Jay, as Matthew said before, tough day for Jamar Chase, less than six fantasy points. He's wide receiver 48, but the Bengals were just able to run at will against the Colts.
They were to run at will. They were leading effectively in the entire game. Jake Browning only had to throw 24 passes. So just throw this one out for Jamar Chase. He showed what he could do with Browning against the Jags, and he will be fine going forward.
You know what you guys should be lucky about? Neither of you were on national television last week saying that you liked the over on 40 points of Vikings Raiders
because 37 points
somebody I just needed a plus 37, right? Exactly. Because you know who did that and has two thumbs? This guy. This was ugly. This was just like a brutal, like, Raiders alone had as many punt yards as there were combined yards of offense. Like, it's Madison leaves with an injury. Justin Jefferson leaves early with an injury. Josh Jacobs leaves with an injury. It's just bad day at the office for all of them. We'll talk more about those two teams coming up, but like, just fantasy wasteland.
My favorite stat of the year, 830 combined punt yards in that game. We're going to break when we're back. Happier times. We got best bets for the Monday Night Football games.
That's basically two Lamar Jacksons plus on the legs of punters.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It's time for Last Call. Let's take a look at the most bet Monday Night Football props, courtesy of our friends at DraftKings. Jordan Love passing touchdowns over 1.5. Tyreek Hill receiving yards, that has definitely moved, but it's we had it over 105.5. I think on DraftKings now it's 110.
Yeah, 109.5.
It's
flying.
I mean,
it's like it keeps moving.
Everybody loves Tyreek Hill's over receiving yards. Jordan Love passing yards over 224.5. That's at -135. Derrick Henry rushing yards over 54.5. Jaden Reed receiving yards over 39.5. Jay, going with the public or going with something else?
Going with something else. But just note, with Tyreek, that climbing to 109.5, like Cooper Kupp in 2021, which I think is the best season anyone has had at the receiver position in recent memory, he was set in like the mid-90s. Like, this is a completely different ballgame with Tyreek. And I'm taking the over on the man throwing him the ball. That's Tua Tagovailoa, 287.5. Titans are the ultimate pass funnel defense, really good against the run, terrible against the pass. And also, I think that Will Levis is really going to struggle to stay on the field the other side. So I think the Dolphins are going to be throwing a ton. And they will be getting, they'll have a lot of time of possession.
Matthew, what do you like?
Okay, so in the, I have two bets. In that particular game in Titans, give me Tajay Spears over 2.5 receptions, which is at plus money, right? He's had at least 4 targets in 6 of the Titans' 8 losses this season. They're pretty significant underdogs in this one. I expect the Titans to lose. And in 3 of the past 5 games, Tajay Spears has had 4 more receptions. So give me over 2.5 at plus money, Tajay Spears. And then in the Packers-Giants game, I like Dontavian Wicks over 31.5 receiving yards. Look, he's gone over this number in 4 straight, and that was all with Christian Watson playing.
Yep.
And now Watson is out. No Aaron Jones in this game as well, so I think they're going to have to throw more. No team in the NFL has allowed more passing yards per game, more receiving yards per game to wide receivers than the Giants over the last month. So Wicks over 31.5.
Guys, I'm jumping back into the defensive props market here. How about Andrew Van Ginkle on the Dolphins, right? Jalen Phillips' replacement. Yep. He's been awesome since he stepped in for Jalen Phillips. 2 quarterback hits last week, over .25. It just needs a half sack tonight. I think Van Ginkle gets it. Miami's going to be up big. A lot of dropbacks for Will Levis, who unfortunately holds the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Van Ginkle. I believe he plays left back for Tottenham.
Yeah.
But he also rushes
the passer. Spare time, he's a Miami pass
rusher. I read a story to my daughter that starred Van Ginkle last night. All right, listen, it's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So good luck in Monday Night Football. Hope your miracle comes through for Jay and Connor. I'm Matthew. Ha ha, Penn State Blake. Peace out.
Oh, no.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.